everybody. Welcome to the Mini PC Show, Episode 1. My name is Door-to-Door Geek. Long story short, I have a problem. I have a bad problem. It's mini computers. And this podcast is going to make my problem even worse. I'm joined on this first episode by Brian. How's everything going, Brian?
Everything's going fantastic. How you doing, Door?
I'm honestly doing good. I feel like this is going to be the beginning of a podcast where once a week or something, I send you something, you send me something, and we keep playing with all these little microcomputing toys and just have a little bit too much fun. We're also being joined, though, by Eric R. Dini from DiniMedia.com and Android App Addicts. How you doing, Eric?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, Dor. I just got done doing some Christmas shopping and drove back to get here for this inaugural show of the Mini PC Show.
Well, you know, you got to buy everyone's stuff, period. I want to start this podcast by saying we are not going to be the guys running Beowulf clusters, benchmarks. We're not going to be the guys physically taking apart boards, examining them, mini pieces. We're going to be looking at these boards more from a consumer type thing, more from an end user type thing, from a, dare I say, just someone who thinks that these are really cool. But Brian, I first want to ask you, when I say mini PC, how would you define a mini computer?
Well, just like any other device, it's got basic input, output, a keyboard, mouse function. You know, I could watch movies, do email, type up documents, maybe print out some documents if necessary.
Very cool, very cool. Mr. R. Dini, how would you describe mini PC?
I would hope that a mini PC could totally replace whatever I was using 5 years ago in a full size, I think. Which I definitely think we're there.
Well, it depends, and I'll say because everyone has their own unique needs. I'm going to define it like this. Mini PC is anything that is abnormally small compared to what people think of as computers and computing devices, but it has to have on it a processor, RAM, some sort of storage. The ability to have a screen or a keyboard or mouse, to me, is almost purely optional. And I say that because I, like, right now today, have running behind this computer screen right here a Banana Pro, which is like a Raspberry Pi, only it's like Arnold fied. It's bigger and stronger kind of thing, where I'm running that as my headless server. There's no keyboard hooked up to it. There's no mouse hooked up to it. There's no monitor hooked up to it. It's been running for months. And I consider that to be my mini computer. But then again, I have my Q-Box 2x2x2 computer hooked up to this monitor right here. So it really could be a wide different type of things when it comes to a mini computer. Some people like to call them SMBs or SBCs, single board computers. I think narrowing what you're talking about to just a SBC is very limiting. And I think we're going to try to expand upon everything from NUX, Zotac Z-Boxes, VenSmile computers, all kinds of stuff. But we're going to try to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Brian, you have more than a couple links in the notes. Is there any one in particular you would like to start off with?
Yeah, there's one in particular that I didn't share the link with. This was a Kangaroo mobile desktop computer. I actually just found about this today. I was looking at some doing reviews online for some mini PCs. You know, I enjoy the HDMI small thumb drive, you know, type of PC that I think Intel has one. Can't think of other manufacturers are out there. You know, the sub $100 mini PCs. I think those are really great. Just because, you know, if you've been on the road and you don't want to carry a laptop, I think that's an ideal device to carry when you get back to the hotel room and you want to plug something in just to watch Netflix or actually, you know, the Chromecast can do that with your cell phone. But I think you can get a little more functionality out of a mini PC stick. But this particular device by Kangaroo Mobile, it's a modular PC. I'm turning my head here to look at the specs here. It's got 2.24 gigahertz processor with 2 megs of cache, 64-bit QAM processor, and I think it's a beast. You know, this is a kind of device where it has a built-in battery, So, you know, it's got a plethora of connections on it. You can hook it up to your monitor, keyboard, mouse, disconnect it from power and take it down the road and use it, you know, right straight off the battery. I think it's a genius idea. But it gives it that, that mini form factor where you could just take it wherever you want. You're not bound to the desktop.
I did put a link in our chat, and I'm thinking this is the same one that you're looking at. I did see this. What I didn't understand is there's two separate physical parts, and I couldn't understand what the two separate physical parts were. But one, I think, might be just like a docking tool just to allow you to have more ports,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, is exactly what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and to me, the big kicker about this is, right now, at least on Newegg, it's only $99. $99 for a quote-unquote pocket computer. You're really starting to broach that part where it's almost disposable. You have no problem buying this for somebody and just saying, here, here's a computer. And I'll say there's a huge percentage of the population, whether it be the retired folks who just need to access Facebook, or whether it's the young kids who just want to access YouTube videos of Minecraft videos. This is the kind of computer that should be able to handle those kind of tasks just fine.
Wow, this thing's really cool. It's got a fingerprint reader built into it, too.
That's what that is.
So if you, is that what it says?
No.
So if you were to take it, you know, and accidentally lose it or leave it in the back of the TV somehow after you packed up and got out of the hotel room, they're not going to get into your stuff too easily. But, man, this thing is super powerful. And it comes with Windows 10 built. Now, these, when they say they're $100 and they come with Windows 10, is that a different Windows 10 or is it the same Windows 10 everything's running now?
Yeah, that's a good question, Eric. I would assume it's got to be the same Windows 10. I don't think there's any different versions, like a mobile version compared to a full desktop version, you know. But with devices like this, I think of folks like my dad, you know. He's probably never touched a computer in his life. And so for me to go out and buy him a PC, it would be a waste of money for me to spend $400, $300, you know, on a tower, then get him a monitor, then get him a keyboard and a mouse, when, quite frankly, he's not even going to be using all that computing power. You know, he's not even going to touch it. And something like that, even a Chromebook would probably be sufficient, but, mm-hmm. you know, the evil empire Chrome, you know, really don't want them watching all of our business. Here we are on a Google Hangout, but, you know, there's some strings attached to that. So you really can't get out underneath that umbrella, you know, if you do have a Chromebook, so to speak. Something like this, you know, you can install whatever you want.
Yeah, it's a good scenario, Brian. I'm in the same quandary. My dad is retiring. He doesn't have a cell phone at all, not even a dumb one. And he, the last computer he bought has Windows ME on it, and he doesn't have internet connection at home, but he's looking to get all of that soon. Maybe not the cell phone part, but he wants to get internet and a computer to do eBay, to sell on eBay. So, and I don't know if this would quite fit the bill, because he really doesn't want a laptop. But yeah, it might work.
Yeah, I'll say, back in Windows RT days, Microsoft changed their licensing to allow for smaller screens or smaller processors with low enough RAM on it, a free version of Windows 8. It used to be called Windows 8 with Bing. I'm 99% sure they're doing the same model moving forward, because this is a lower processing power device with a, you know, smaller amount of RAM on it. I believe you're getting a quote-unquote free version of Windows 10.
Yeah, for a minute.
And
he'll
from what
be right
I remember,
yeah,
some, I had devices.
I know Amazon also does this on their devices. They offer a smaller
Windows with Bing on it. It was the exact same operating system.
On their,
it was just
on their tablets,
trimmed down,
get it for cheaper,
lighter. But I could do everything I needed to do
tablet,
in that OS, just like I could in the normal.
I don't know if it's an ad every time you boot it or when the ad comes in. But yeah, I think I remember some of those old Windows 8s. You couldn't change the background to a different kind. Maybe like, you know, you were stuck with blue for a desktop wallpaper and stuff like that. Hey, Dor.
With something like that, you would think it would be free. You know, I would take a tablet if it was free with ads that you were forced to watch.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's still some hardware there, and you weren't able to watch a movie in your hand the day before you got it in the mail. You know, so there's some value to it. You know, even though you are forced to see some of those ads on the Amazon stuff.
Well, the Amazon stuff, I knew the ads.
We can't hear you.
I do know on the Amazon stuff, the ads are a bit much. If the worst thing you can do is not change the background on it, I'm fine with that. I'm not buying this device to be my high-end customized computing device. This to me would also be a great kitchen computer, if that made any sense. Appliance computer, especially if you need to do like a kiosk, maybe at church or at an event or at school, this could be a very good kiosk type computer. Now, of course, my question is, can I install Linux on it? My logic would say, yes, you have to be able to install Linux on it. But the question is, what would be supported out of the box? If I look and find anything saying that you can install Linux on it, I will share that in the notes. But let's for now just accept this as a Windows device.
I'll accept it, but I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, you might not get the fingerprint scanner right away, but the rest of it's got to be fairly, you know, it doesn't look like there's anything hardware-wise that's crazy different than everything else out there.
Yeah, it's typically just a question of BIOS.
So
how can you say in the BIOS boot to a USB drive?
So that Kangaroo dock at the bottom, the two-part you're talking about door, does that look like is that only battery? That bottom extra piece?
I'm honestly not sure if it's battery. It's not. But it's definitely extra ports. Yeah. It gives you full-size USB and full-size or mini HDMI.
What's SS USB? Is it? It's got USB 3, it looks like, because it's blue. And it says SS. Is that another name for USB 3 or something?
I don't know.
Sounds Super like Sport.
Nazi. USB. I don't know, Eric. I'm truly confused.
I don't know either. I just noticed that. So with...
But $100, man, if this was a couple weeks earlier, I'm not going to lie, I would have considered looking at getting this for my oldest son for his Minecraft computer.
It makes me wonder why it has the extra piece. Why aren't those just built into the bottom or make it longer itself? Because it doesn't... What's the function without the HDMI and USB ports and power port?
I think they have it because they do plan on expanding it even more.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
Well, and remember, Eric, not every computer needs a video output. Headless boxes are possible, you know.
Yep. So what do you... Go ahead, Eric.
I'm sorry.
I just wonder, you talked of your headless Banana Pi that's running behind your monitor. What are you doing with that? What is that? Is that your own cloud server?
Right now it's running own cloud, which is my personal version of Dropbox, basically. Okay. Where from anywhere I can access that hard drive, I can upload files, download files. From there I can share files out to other people, and I don't have to pay a monthly fee, nor do I have to let other people have access to my data.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. So when you're looking at a headless machine, so in that case, you're kind of not really using it as a desktop. Using it as a server, you know, serving up resources, whether it be like a file sharing server or DNS or even like a home router, you know.
Yeah, and I will admit that's a nerdy thing to do. And by that, what I really mean is 90%+ of the people out there would never dream of buying this, setting it up, and having it as a server in their house. But there's a link here that I wanted to bring. It's on Softpedia. And it's basically saying Western Digital. That's a big boy when it comes to hard drives and external drives. Announced that next year they're going to basically be selling an external hard drive with a Raspberry Pi built into it, which is going to have its own version of own cloud on it. I'm expecting them to customize it a little bit. So they're basically taking what I built and putting a pretty face on it and selling it as basically an all-in-one smart device. And to be honest, that's the way I can see these things actually lowering in price and becoming more popular, is when a company puts lipstick on it, you know, and makes it pretty for people to use. I am a huge, ridiculous fan of owning my data and being the admin of my data. Now, granted, if you don't have true high-speed internet, to have this at your house would not help a lot, because then when you're out on the road, it would still take forever to upload and download files. But I have, you know, 90+ meg up and down, so I think I'm okay.
Now, do you think the average person looking at this would say, hey, that's pretty good, I need to get that?
That's the thing. I don't know. It's all going to be in the pitch. Yeah. And it's going to depend on how that, on how Western Digital is able to sell it to the end user. If they pretty it up enough, and if they speak about it in the right fashion, and most importantly, they make the setup painlessly, I could see people doing this. It's going to have to be cheap. It's going to have to be like $50 or less cheap.
Right. The only reason why I say that is because when I say the word to folks, hey, I got a Raspberry Pi, huh? You know, they're like, what is that?
Let's grab a fork.
Yeah. And so I have to sit down and start to explain it. Once I start unfolding, you know, what that is, you know, the light bulb goes off. Oh, wow. So what do you do with that? You know, then the next question. But right. I think for me, you know, for us, I mean, we're like super geeks on steroids here. I think this is a brilliant idea. It sounds like they've borrowed a little bit from the data center world where, you know, they started putting IP addresses on hard drives, you know, making things a little quicker. But taking that a step further, you know, why not put a microprocessor and a controller on a hard drive? I think that would make things a little bit more interesting.
Brian, like you said, I think people, when they hear the word cloud, their head kind of spins. But I think more and more people, I don't know if it's because it's pre-installed on their phones and their pictures are automatically getting put to it, people are almost starting to understand what Dropbox is. And if they can maybe throw the word Dropbox-ish into the marketing of this product, Dropbox without the Dropbox for yourself, basically, you take care of your own stuff, but you get it. You can have it everywhere, just like Dropbox, but you control it.
Yeah, I was over at a buddy's house last night, and we were talking about mini computers, and because I always bring my GPD mini Android computer with me, and then he was talking about storing his files, and he was saying how he doesn't feel completely comfortable now with storing his stuff on Google or OneDrive or someplace else. And he was saying, you know, I need a solution. How can I do this myself? And when I said to him, first off, you have to understand when someone says cloud, it just means somebody else's computer. And he like jumped up and like freaked out. Exactly. That's what it is. There ain't no cloud. There's no such thing as a cloud. I'm just storing myself on somebody else's computer. That means they have access to everything I put on that computer.
Is that what bothers him about those services? Yeah. Is the potential of somebody else seeing his stuff?
Well, he kept saying like 1984, he doesn't own it. It's not his. He says, once I put it someplace else, it's theirs in reality. It's not mine. It's theirs. I just happen to have access to it. He's like, and I don't like the idea of not controlling my stuff. He says, when I take pictures and I have important things, I want to make sure that I'm accountable for them. Now, he's not as he isn't as big as a tech as us. He's not as nerdy as us. He is a web developer, so he's not, you know, tech stupid. He's a smart guy, but he's not into the underpinnings of technology. So he is right now starting to say, you know, I don't know if I trust Dropbox. And I said, well, that's good. That's good. And I said, do you know who sits on the board of Dropbox? He's like, why would I? I said, oh, well, Condoleezza Rice sits on the board. He said, what? You mean like from the government? Yes, from the government, Condoleezza Rice. He said, oh. I really shouldn't have my stuff on there, should I?
like the yellow cake uranium Condoleezza Rice?
Yeah. Yeah, so these are the kind of things. The real nerd in me wants to say, I want these little enclosures to take off, not because I want everyone to have a version of OwnCloud on their own system, but this is the future to me of social media, where you actually own your content. You upload your pictures to there. Then directly from there, you can say, I want to share these with my nephew. I want to share these with my cousin.
Well, that's social media if you're not just out there to grab everybody's attention possible.
It's everything in computers goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, from cloud to desktop, from cloud to desktop, mainframe to desktop. You know, it always bounces back and forth. And I'm hoping there's going to be a next generation social media where it's on our computers. It's not on their cloud computers. But I know that's a pipe dream.
It sounds like peer-to-peer social media.
Yeah, there's a initiative called Freedom Box by some Linux weenies out there that this could be the future of, I'll say that kind of thing. It just interests me.
Well, I'm just going to talk about it. The big elephant in the room is, you know, the reason why we're here talking is because of mobile. You know, without mobile, I don't think any of this would even be coming up. And you know, I think mobile's the
ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah, I think mobile's the big driver of the mini PC market. The system on a chip design, which is I think a fabulous design, but to make that real and tangible to the general consumer, I mean, I don't know if it was you, Dor, or you, Eric, that mentioned. I think it was you, Eric, that mentioned. I think we're here now. That I think you know the average person can probably take a mini PC like this, that were the Kangaroo type of PC or the Raspberry Pi 2, have it pre-configured, put a mouse keyboard on it, and a monitor on it, and I think I'm going to go on the limb, but I think they would be just fine doing their daily routine. Now, if they're doing something special like video editing or even maybe you probably get away with light picture editing, you know, editing some light photos. I can guarantee if I were to put a Raspberry Pi 2 on top of my wife's computer tower and just left the tower running and didn't tell her, well, obviously she'd recognize that she's not using Windows anymore. But let's just say if I had this Kangaroo box and didn't tell her, say, hey, babe, I upgraded your operating system to Windows 10. This is how it is. I can guarantee she wouldn't know the difference, you know. I think it's a mind concept. People say, I'm going to give you this tiny little box, and this is going to be your desktop. Well, that can't do what I want it to do. But in all reality, some people are living off their phones. You know, it sounds kind of crazy, but people are actually doing it, you know. It works a little bit. It gets kind of sticky for a little while. But if I could plug my mouse and a keyboard and a monitor in my phone and turning it into a full-fledged desktop, hello, Ubuntu, I think it'd be a really good solution, you know.
Yeah, I think kids who are Dor's kids' age, even if they didn't have Dor as a dad, they're not going to be asking for a desktop PC when they become teenagers in high school. They're going to be so used to the back end. I mean, the other side of it, not the interface and your part that you have in your hand, everything else is so easy now. The web browsers, you know, Google makes everything available right to you. You don't have to do any type of coding to really get around on the internet, or you don't have to know much to get a lot done. And I was somebody who used to do video editing on a Pentium 4, so I could probably, it's probably faster to do it on the Kangaroo than what I used to use.
Yeah, I'll say I showed the Zotac Z-Box I have, which is an Intel NUC shape size computer, to a coworker at work. A coworker who is a .NET C# developer. And the first thing he said to me was, well, what the hell would I do with that? Well, it's a computer. He says, I can't do development work on a computer. I said, is that all you do on a computer? Do you do anything else? And he just stopped for a second. He said, well, no. I said, and does your wife develop? He said, well, no. I said, well, does your kid develop? No. So why are you worrying about that? You have a development computer for that. The only time I see any kid asking for a desktop is if they're literally trying to get into high-end video editing, or they want to play PC games, you know, and that's it. I can say I firmly believe it is phones. I mean, if you listen to maker people, they're the first ones I ever heard say, thanks to the cell phone movement market of taking all these sensors and making them small and making billions of them, which means they're really cheap. The ability to make like quadcopters and maker devices has went from hundreds of dollars to pennies. And we are also getting the benefit of that. When we look at our mini computers, like the Banana Pi I have here, this thing, you know, a couple years ago would have been $100-something easy, where now it's like $30. And there's a brand new one on Kickstarter right now called the Pine, P-I-N-E. They're trying to make theirs for $15. You have the chip also that was on Kickstarter. They're trying to do theirs for $9. It's going to be very close to where nerds will be able to make their own computing home, a appliance for pennies. But it's not going to matter until big companies do it. And I think Brian's right. Very soon, you're going to go into work. Work's going to be the first one to do it. Where you walk up to your desktop computer and you go to turn it on and you say to the guy, how do I turn on my desktop computer? And the guy will say, well, behind your monitor is a little box connected to it. Just press that little red button on there. And you'll look over top of the monitor, and there'll be this little tiny box connected to the back of the monitor, and that's your desktop computer. When people see that at work, then they're going to be much more acceptable at home.
That's true.
And I think it's going to take like another year or two, and then when it does happen, it's literally going to take off like wildfire, where we're going to look snootily like Oh, you have one of them huge computers. What's wrong with you? Kind of thing.
I'm surprised we're not seeing it now.
It's around the corner. Now, for someone who... Okay, so this is episode one, and people might be tuning in for the first time who know nothing about these little computers. Is there an example or a comparison you could make to, say, that Banana Pi? If for someone who's been into the desktop computers since Windows 98, where in power-wise would you, you know, Pentium 2, Pentium 4, you know, Celeron, where... What kind of a computer could you compare that to from back in, you know, in time? Is there any comparison that can be made even?
I'll say it's not fair because these are all ARM-based processors. And all computers, quote-unquote, since Pentium 1s have been Intel-based processors, x86 or x64-based processors. So it is like comparing apples to fish. You know what I mean? They're not really the same thing. I will say, on a good, powerful, modern mini computer that's not Intel-based, you can get... The problem is our judgment has changed to what's an acceptable desktop, okay? If you take one of them and run it side-by-side with a computer that was a P3 or maybe even a P4, they would probably run about the same speed. The main difference is on an ARM computer, you can't get Flash. So back in the day, you wouldn't be able to use it for YouTube, which means you wouldn't use it at all. But I'm getting near desktop-like experiences with my QBox. I'm getting near desktop-like experience with my Banana Pro. The Raspberry Pi 2, I will say, makes for a great MAME gaming cabinet. Not really, I would say, desktop computer-like. But I think it's only a matter
of... What's MAME?
MAME is Multiple Arcade Machine Emulation. It's... the way you can play old arcade games or newer arcade games from your computer, it emulates the arcade cabinet.
Okay, so you could have multiple gaming systems of the past in there.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of game system, all kind of games. And I will say, I'm going to put the link to the Pine 64 in the chat right now. It's on Kickstarter. I'm really usually not the guy that jumps on Kickstarters. Literally, I've only jumped on, I think, three in the last 3 years, 4 years. I did jump on this one because I believe how Raspberry Pi, and I said before the Raspberry Pi even launched, how it was going to explode, it was going to be big, it was going to be huge, partially because of the price. For $30, it allowed people to create and hack and experiment. This, I think, is the second wave of this. I'm thinking, honestly, this Pine 64 is going to be the next hugely big, popular mini computer because it's only $15, which means for half of the price of a Raspberry Pi, I can get a similarly powered device for a couple bucks more, $19, at least now for $19, I can get a Pine 64 with 2 gigs of RAM.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy. I do believe this is going to be a very popular device because it's so cheap, people will be willing to hack away and break stuff and just experiment and try stuff.
2 gigs of RAM is a starting point, but I've noticed that looking at some of these mini PCs, you'll see the average RAM point is about 2 gigs. Now I know when I'm on Chrome and I've got multiple tabs open, those 2 gigs can be taxed pretty quickly. You know, I'd like to see a little bit.
I do think the web browser is the beast when it comes to RAM consumption these days. I hope web pages and web content becomes a little bit lighter, but I don't see that happening. So you're going to have like one tab open on these things and that's it. No more.
What? How much did you say it would cost to get 2 gigs of RAM on this board?
$19.
Wow.
And then it becomes a question of, well, is it worth your while to try to get two of these for $19 and somehow cluster them together, dare I say, where you have the processing power and 4 gigs of RAM? I don't know. But I will say the other thing that really interests me is this Kickstarter says they are going to support out of the box Android 5.1 on this Pine computer, Ubuntu, which will probably be Mate Ubuntu, OpenWRT, which is a really good, powerful router like operating system. And then you have OpenHAB, which is supposed to be a smart home operating system. So these guys know where to tease, where to talk about, because those are four things that somebody's going to be interested in, kind of thing. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. They do plan on shipping, at least me, my first thing in February, which is only 2 months away. So let's.
Which one did you go for, Dor? Do you remember? Well, I just wondered. Question. No big deal.
Actually, I cheated and went for two. Because on Kickstarter, you cannot back any more than one pledge. So I went for the $15 Pine 64 512 meg of RAM device, which is going to ship in February. Then I gave a buddy some money and told him to do the $29 pledge, which was which ended up being $39, I want to say. No, $29. I don't know. Because he got the 2 gig bump, and his is going to ship, I believe, in March, to which, of course, as soon as he gets it, he's going to ship it to me. Yeah. So
and that's got a gigabit Ethernet port built into it, man.
And that's one of those shortcomings with the Raspberry Pi is 10/100. Give me the true gig. I want true gig.
Very neat.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. And I'll say, like right now, I also have my Intel NUC. Now we're getting out of the ARM-based kind of things, and we're getting into the quote-unquote, what some people say, now you're getting into real computers, because you're getting into Intel-based computers that typically seem to cost at least more than $200, I'll say, when you get into this form factor of computer. And I'll say these, to me, are very interesting devices. These are almost like the Porsches of mini computers. You know what I mean? You don't get these to play with. You don't get these to hack on. You get these where you need a real, quote-unquote, full-fledged computer that can do a good amount of business task, and it's modular. That's the other big thing. You can open this puppy up, take out the hard drive, take out the RAM, replace the stuff, so it's upgradable. We're like the Kangaroo PC and these smaller stick computers, you ain't upgrading nothing, that thing, unless you have a soldering gun and you have lots of talent. Yeah.
Yeah. The NUC comes in a lot of different sizes and abilities too. It doesn't come just like with one Atom or Celeron processor. It comes, you can get all the way up to like an i5 in those, can't you?
Or i7.
Yeah.
i7?
Yeah. Yeah. You can get them, and you can get it to where it will probably cook itself.
Started wondering. I'm like, i7, man. I hope the whole top of it is a fan.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. None of the NUCs are fanless that I know of.
That
that's
one of the mini computers' advantages for the future too, as far as where you're going to put them. Like it's like say in a sensitive environment, say even podcasting. You know, if you didn't have the software to remove hiss and things like that, or you know, to build it in the back of a little something you want. You don't say you want to add a lot of functionality to otherwise. Normally perceived box, like I'm trying to find an example, like say a closet. You're not used to a closet making any noise, but you want this one to be internet powered and run games. And so when you open your closet, you can not only pick out shirts, but you could also browse Amazon. But it's fanless and it makes no noise. It just works and does things for you. And it's a touchscreen all of a sudden.
That's to me. I insist on my quote unquote mini computer being 100% quiet, fanless, because one of the real places a mini computer can excel is as a home theater computer. And when you're watching a movie and there's a quiet scene, you don't want to hear in the background, you know, that just completely takes away from the movie. So you want to have something quiet. Or if you're playing a game on your big screen TV with one of these devices, you do not want to hear the fan kick in. Now, when you're desktop computing, PC gaming, 4K, 90 frames a second, whatever, you have your headphones on that where you can't hear a EMT fire truck behind you kind of thing. That's different. But when you're having a mini PC, you need quiet.
Yeah,
no, I have to fully agree with you, Dor. I'm looking at some prices there. Those Intel NUCs, like you said, they're not cheap. You know, $600. $500. I'm looking at a bare bones one for sub $300, and that's
and that's still with no hard drive.
That's with no hard drive, no operating system. So
that's some money. When you talk about those noisy things, I remember the gamepad with the dock.
The game stick.
The game stick, yes. The game stick with the dock. You know, I start thinking back, and I came to the show today. I'm like, you know, I don't even have any of these little computers that we're talking about. But what I realize is I've owned them all. I've given them away because I gave that one away at CompTIA the summer, and then I gave away my Raspberry Pi like a few years ago to one of the as a contest on the Geeksters when I was hosting that. So they come and go through my hands. I don't hang on to them long enough to keep them. I'm gonna have to grab. Yeah, that dock. That is a very loud fan in that little dock. But for the price, it was a great deal.
For the price, you can't beat it. It was $5 for the dock.
It was that's so cool.
$5. Wow.
Oh, those things were so cheap. When they clearanced them out of GameStop. I bought the last two. I think they had.
I was talking to a buddy of mine today. He built a home theater PC with a dual core processor. Now he's running Windows Media Center, and I said to him, "Don't you know that Microsoft discontinued Windows Media Center? And you know, as good as it was, and I think it's still pretty sharp, very easy to use." Very straightforward. But he says, no, I know they've discontinued it, but the community is still pretty strong for it. It's not that big, but it's big enough for me to still keep using it. You know, there's people are still writing software for it, you know. I just thought that. I'm just watching him stream over the air, uncompressed, HDTV, and, you know, it's native resolution. It looked beautiful. And he's able to record and, you know, back up his content, watch Netflix on it. You know, this is a PC that he made 4+ years ago, you know, it's some pretty old tech and to still, you know, do what he wants it to do.
Yeah, it's just like Microsoft to give up on something that works well. They do that a lot. There's so many little things that people have really loved that they've come out with and they just don't stick with it.
Yeah, Microsoft is the, they do whatever they want to do. And I will say, I don't know anyone who said, you know, that was a horrible thing they made. Nobody used it. It sucked. It was useless and it was crashing. It was buggy. No, everyone I know who used a Windows Media Center, they were all like, dude, this works pretty good. Hey, look, there's plugins too. You can extend it. So they said, well, then, you know, no, I guess they want you to buy an Xbox. I don't know.
That's possible.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Yeah, that's not cool. Now, I will say, for those that don't know, I'm a Linux weenie in the sense of right now, there's one device in my house running Windows, and it's a dual boot Asian tablet. Nothing else is running Windows.
And that probably doesn't run Windows often since it's dual boot.
No. I only have it so I can access iTunes and add podcasts to iTunes and the such. The difference between Windows and Linux to an end user is if you're accustomed to Windows already, to do anything in Linux is a tumor nightmare. And it makes no sense, and it takes longer, and it's very, very painful. If someone's brand new to computers in general, and you show them Linux, and you get them to use Linux, then show them Windows, they'll say the same thing about Windows. There isn't much you can't do in either one. The majority of stuff you can do in both. It's just a question of what steps do you do to do it.
You know, that's funny, Dor, because I started both my kids out on Linux. And I was a Windows person, but I saw the potential in Linux, and I saw how far it had come. You know, when they were growing up, it was very GUI and nothing like it. The old days of, you know, anyway. Now my son, he has a Chromebook, and my daughter, she has Windows, but she also has a MacBook. So she, you know, neither of them are stuck in Windows. I would say, neither of them are running Linux, but, yeah, they're not, I think they could just fine.
I think nowadays, I think it's really doesn't matter what you're using. You know, if it's we're primarily connected via the browser, we're connected via social media, we're connected via email. I think the operating system purely is the veil, and I think Chrome, at Google, as a matter of fact, they reveal that with their Chromebooks. You know, as popular and great as they are, they've shown us that the operating system really doesn't matter. You know, and I think those of us that are on Linux or on Windows or on Mac OS, I think that's more of a comfort thing. And, or not even that, but what we need to get done. If we need to get something done specifically, we're going to gravitate towards whatever is going to meet our needs. You know, as much as I don't like Windows, they do some pretty good gaming stuff, you know, aside from, Steam OS, which is growing up pretty strong. But, I introduced my son to Linux, you know, started him off with, I think it was Cinnamon, and you know, he downloaded SteamOS, and Dad, I can't play all the games that are on here. It says I need Windows. how can I answer that? I'm like, well, want to use the Xbox upstairs, you know? That was my answer to that. But, yeah, I think nowadays we can really show them kind of both worlds, but it really doesn't make a difference what it is.
Yeah, I'll put it like this, and I'm going to use a sports analogy, which I'm really sorry using a sports analogy. But if you like football, then you like football. Then you like football. Doesn't matter if your team's on or not. You'll watch it because you like the sport. You like the interactions. You like the things that happen. Then you have fair weather fans where if it's not your team on TV, you won't watch. Okay. If you use a computer and you say to yourself, well, I need Adobe Premiere to get my job done, you're a fair weather fan. You're not a fan of computing. You're a fan of Adobe. Okay. That's when you come into issue when you come up to a computer and it isn't the operating system that you're accustomed to. If you're a person that likes computing, you'll come up to a new computer and say, oh, I need to get this task done. I don't see my program. Okay, so what can I use instead of that? Because experimentation means you're going to find something different that is going to open your eyes to how your application doesn't do it. And it might be better, might be worse. Either way, you're going to be a smarter computer user if you try other things. iTunes is the only real standout holdout that I hear people saying I still use X operating system because of iTunes. Well, then I salute you and tell you to stop bothering me with your questions. Keep using your operating system.
Yeah, something we probably should have done at the beginning of the show, since this is the first episode, and people may know us or they may not. Can we just say a little bit about who we are in case they've never listened to any Pod Nuts shows before, Dor?
You go okay. First.
My name is Eric Ardini. I'm a former computer repair business owner, longtime podcaster, former host of the Geeksters, fill-in host a few times for Podnuts and Podnuts Daily, and regular co-host on the Android App Addicts podcast. City clerk of Rock Falls, Illinois.
Very cool. And Brian.
Well, my list is not that extensive. Actually, this is the first podcast I've done. I do dabble into PC repair. I've been into computers for a number of years, you know, spanning back to the Commodore 64. I generally right now I do networking. I work for a large ISP, and we do enterprise networking. That's my bread and butter. But I enjoy tech, you know, and that's why I'm here.
Very cool. Very cool. My name is Door-to-Door Geek. I'm the owner of Podnuts. I've been into this podcasting thing for a while. I will say I grew up with a very bad speech impediment, so I really didn't speak a whole lot. Found podcasting, found some people I liked in podcasting, so I would once in a while call them up and harass them with stuff, and then eventually got sucked into the idea of podcasting. Turned around, bought Podnuts. But there is going to be this link in the show, and I put the link in the chat here to the guys, to a thing called a Zipit. Zipit Z2. It's really hard to tell by picturing this thing, but this thing is a pocket computer. If you look on the front bottom, you see a slot. That's a micro SD card slot. That's how small this thing
that's
is.
So
it's quite tiny, and this was one of the first microcomputers I bought. It was sold to 13, 14-year-old girls who couldn't have cell phones yet but wanted to text.
I was going to say, it looks like AOL on there.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a chat service. So I bought it, hacked it, quote-unquote, installed Linux on it, and I was able to war drive and Wi-Fi sniff with this little pocket thing.
That's pretty awesome.
And that was at least 10 years ago. I've always had this thirst for mini computers, and on every, and which is why I liked Android, to be honest. It was, I had a computer in my pocket. This was starting to fulfill my dream of having a computer walking up and having it be the smallest part of my computing experience. The screen is bigger, the keyboard's bigger, the mouse is bigger, the speakers are bigger, everything's bigger than my computer. That's right there in my pocket. I've been too many podcasts over too many lengths of time. Everything from Linux Basics, Mobile Dynasty, Droid Nation, Podnuts, Podnuts Daily, Android App Addicts, Linux for the rest of us, Podnuts Meetup. I'm sure there's one or two more in there that I completely forgot. Bottom line is I'm a nerd. I'm a fat nerd in Maryland. Family man, wife, two kids, work 40 hours a week, state job, 20 years. This year is my 20th year there. When I come home and then when I'm done with the family, done with the kids, they go to bed, I come downstairs and I podcast because that's what I like to do. There's no doubt in my mind this show is going to be one of the more popular shows on the network because the depth and breadth of things that we can play with, things we can see, the things we can talk about is ever expanding. This niche of computer will never go away and it will only become more and more populous with stuff. And I do plan on sending at least one or two to Brian and one or two to Eric because right here, in my grasp alone, I got like five of them.
I was just thinking, when we started this podcast earlier, we had a lot of links that we haven't even touched the surface of, even the ones we intended to talk about today.
Well, is there any link that you see that spiked your interest?
I was kind of looking at that NVIDIA Jetson TX1, but I haven't gotten into it enough to know exactly what it all does. It looks pretty powerful.
No. This is a beast, okay? Joe Heck over at codingforsale.com.
Love Joe.
He got himself one
Did
of
he?
These things. Well, he's trying to get more than one. That's the thing. He's trying to get two or three of these things so he can cluster them together. The NVIDIA Jetson TX1 is literally a supercomputer-esque powerful computing device in a modular drive, basically. This is the future. The next time you hear about a supercomputer breaking something or doing something major, it's going to be a bunch of these things, like linked together. The performance you can get out of this thing, which is a Tegra processor, and that is a ARM processor, is literally crazy. If you want to do some high-end calculations, aka in encryption or high-end compression or quick compression, this is the kind of device that you need. This is not the kind of device that we buy as a mini computer and then we hook up to a monitor and do podcasting.
Right.
Because this is not cheap. I want to say at the low end, this is $600.
When they do that, there's another link in this post. That does the side by side comparisons between it and an i7 Skylake. It's some power behind this thing.
Oh yeah, this thing blows away stuff.
I can only imagine what Joe's going to do with this. Is this, you know, Joe posted something a little while ago. It had a bunch of HDMI ports coming out, waiting for processing units to be plugged into it, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, Joe is the benchmarking number guy. So if you want hardcore numbers on computing devices and microcomputing devices, Code for Sale is one of his domains. When he launches the show, we'll make sure that we mention his show because he's also going to do some kind of a mini show. So I expect when he talks about this device, he's going to be smiling a lot. Very cool, very cool. We've been gone for about an hour now. Brian, is there anything else you wanted to... Talk up.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the remix.
I love the remix.
I just popped it in the chat to the right there. I did see it on the one of the links, and I was kind of wondering, you had purchased one.
I do have both, quote unquote, every remix. That's one of the things I'll say. I have the Jide Remix Ultra tablet, which I'm sold. I mean, that thing is gorgeous, great battery life. Then I did get this, which is the Jide Remix Mini, which is basically a small mouse-sized computer. HDMI, two USB, 10/100 Ethernet, and a SD card slot on it. Runs its customized Android, and that's the gimmick. And by gimmick, it's actually a good gimmick. It runs a complete customized version of Android, which means you get the Android marketplace, you get the death of the Android marketplace, but you do get a hybrid desktop-like experience. It isn't a completely desktop experience, but you get Like, people are right now complaining about the Pixel C, how it's just normal Android. And this is how you know every tech journalist out there is nothing more than a piece of meat waiting to have money thrown at them. Because nobody's talking about the Jai.
Yeah.
They're all saying how the Pixel C needs to have multi-window, blah, 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 blah. Well, they're going to do it wrong, okay? If you want to know how multi-window's done right, get yourself a Jai device, okay? This is the future of Android. There's little doubt in my mind in 4 years or so, there's going to be a lot of things taken from this and sucked back up into Android. It isn't extremely snappy performance, because Android is a hog. It is a ridiculous hog. But I did get the 2 gig of RAM, 16 gig internal space one. I have it right now connected to my big screen TV upstairs because, again, it's fanless. Netflix, like a champ, just works. And I will say, I did like the fact that as soon as I opened it up, it literally had 3 updates waiting for it, system updates. So they are constantly revving it. They didn't just put it out there. This, to me, is a perfect device to give someone who just needs Facebook or YouTube or, you know, basic computing experience like that. Right now, I believe you can get it for $80, the one I got. But it looks like the 2 gig early bird says it's now reopened. Maybe you can go back and get it for $40. Because for $40, this is remarkable, is what I'll say. It literally is remarkable.
Right. I think you nailed it on the head as far as the Remix OS. Looks definitely like the future of Android. I mean, when I first saw this, my eyes were open just for, not so much for the hardware, but for their concept on how Android looks or how a window type desktop would appear in Android. You know, I think it was brilliant. And if they've already had some reversions beforehand, I can't see this being a failed product, you know, down the road. You know, once it's polished, once it's where it needs to be, I would love to see this on some good hardware, you know.
Absolutely agree. And I'm going to put this link in the note too. I don't do things for numbers, okay? I don't do this podcast because I think it's going to get good download numbers. I do this podcast because I found Brian who likes, you know, this computing environment, and I have Eric here because I like talking about this kind of stuff. So I'm not pushing this because I want bigger numbers, but I did do a video on YouTube, which is over 700 views. I've never gotten that high of numbers before, ever, where I basically am showing off the Jide Mini Remix, if you want to get a closer look at it physically and at the screen. Again, this can easily be put in even some companies because you have complete Office for free, Outlook for free, Word for free, Excel for free because it's Android. You can have professional corporate style email connected to it very easily. You have calendaring connected to it very easily. Or you can bring it home, connect it up to YouTube or Netflix and have that kind of experience off of it for a very, very low price. I just gotta say I'm very, very impressed by it.
Wow. This makes me, now that I'm thinking about it, I do have another small computer in my house. I've got the, I don't even remember what the name of it is. It's a Chinese Android box thing. Now it has 2 different launchers, so I should go back to the other launcher and see if it's anything close to this Jide's interface. Because the one I'm using now, the launcher, is the Media Center version of it, which, you know, works really good for 10 feet away on a bedroom PC or living room PC or television. It works really well. But it comes with so much software that's a little shady, but you're not talking about numbers, but these are some numbers on this Jide that you made your video about and that we were just talking about. This is the number one all-time Kickstarter project from China. It has...
Yeah, but you see nobody talking about it. You see, and these things have delivered. You don't see any website talking about it. You don't see any podcast talking about it. You don't see any YouTubers talking about it. When little piddly old me makes a super craptastic looking video with horrible quality and horrible editing, I nearly get 1,000 views off of it.
This is the number 5 all-time Kickstarter hardware project.
Because in typical fashion, websites and journalists are not real people. They're like lawyers. You know, some of them should be shot in the head. Where I am a real person, and as a real person, this is really cool. And honestly, I'm tempted to buy a second one of these things and give it to my youngest son as his personal computer.
Wow. And that's for $40.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's fanless.
And it's completely fanless, completely quiet.
Wow. I'll tell you what, man. These guys, I think this Giant's got a future. You know, I think like HTC was kind of like in this spot of like maybe 6 years ago when they were the only ones making Windows phones and Android really wasn't a thing. But there was those couple really fancy looking HTC phones in your dumb phone store. And this was before the iPhone. And now, you know, the stuff that they're doing now, this is kind of where they were at then, I think.
Yeah, it looks like right now the Remix Mini, if you click on buy, takes you to shop.jide.com, $70. Mm. And for $70, don't get me wrong, it's still a good deal. It ain't $40 deal, but it's a deal.
Right. Eric, you make a good point. I'm kind of surprised we're not seeing a whole lot of companies like HTC in their position driving the bus on some of these mini PCs. Because there's a plethora of them out there. You would think they would be behind one of these, you know?
Yeah, they're used to selling $400 phones. I don't know how much interest they have in a $40 product of any kind, you know, really.
Right.
Yeah, there's definite truth to that. I will say, when they do it, because it's a given. Sooner or later, you're going to see Samsung and version of this and all these other people doing it. They're going to definitely charge more. My guess is about $100 to $120 for small mini computers. But I also don't expect their quality to be grand, aka a year goes by or something and they're going to start flaking out. Because they want to make sure that you can keep rebuying it, you know, as time goes on.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll probably have capacitive touch buttons on top of them, though, or something. Oh, wait. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. This one's already got that.
It does. And it doesn't look like a button. Let me tell you something. If you just got this as a gift and no one told you about that button, you would swear the damn things broke.
That's the weirdest. The weirdest part. I always makes me laugh when I think about that on this device.
I didn't say it made the perfect sense, Eric, but it does work.
Actually, Samsung did have a hub solution where you could upload your photos and documents through like a personal cloud type device. And I believe you can hook it up to your TV too as well and do some streaming. I can't remember what it was called, but that to me looked like a mini PC type of setup. With a large price tag, it was like $300, I believe, retail.
Mm.
It's just outrageous, you know. They throw a terabyte hard drive into it, and put a big sticker on it, and it just doesn't appeal to the average consumer. I'm not going to shell out, you know. If I had disposable income, yeah, I would of course buy it and throw it away a year or two from now. But that's what you would see from a company like that. I would hope to see something like the Remix or something like the Kangaroo. You know, maybe sub $200. And I think the Chromebook fits a nice niche where, you know, you have a keyboard and a screen for under $200. I would definitely. Matter of fact, I have bought that, and it served me well while I was in school. I would just think you'd see something like that from one of these major phone companies that are out there that have the deep pockets and the research to put out a really well-polished device.
Yeah.
I do think it's only a matter of time. I'm going to bring out my last piece of hardware I'm going to talk about, at least this show. And this thing, I can tell you right now, I am so, I want to buy it so bad. I'm holding off, though. The website is hystou.com. That was hystou.com. And this is a bare-bones, fanless, mini computer, desktop, PC, Intel Celeron, 1037U HTPC alloy case with USB 3.0. Okay, so this is the cheap bare bones version. You can get this with a hard drive and RAM in it for, I want to say, $160 on this same website. But this is a little mini computer. This is like a large Roku sized computer, I'll say, with dual gig Ethernet and USB 3.0. What I've been dreaming about for the longest time with me and my buddy Tracy Holtz was the idea of having a super cheap, economical, dual gig box that you could have as a gateway, or you could sell to companies as a gateway device. Now, what a gateway device does is you can have that device between everything and the internet. So there's one controlling device, which makes it very easy. That's where you can do your QoS. That's where you can do your filtering. That's where you can do your content blocking. That's where you can do all of your DNS redirects and everything else just from that one little box. And it's always been over $200 every time I look for a dual gigabit NIC box. And then me and Tracy Holtz found this one. I'm very tempted to get this because my kids are now becoming a little bit older. My wife is learning how much she really enjoys Netflix. I like to have my bandwidth, so I might buy this just to QoS the rest of the family because, I mean, you know, I am the breadwinner, at least for now. So maybe I should get some of the, you know, pleasantries of being the breadwinner, like the most bandwidth.
And you'd put this in line after a router, or could this take the place of the router?
No. This would go public internet, modem, this device, then router.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't want to do the routing on the same device. Okay. To me, this should just be a pass-through device, but, you know, should be able to filter everything and QoS everything.
And use some intrusion detection and maybe a little honeypot.
There's a lot you could do with this thing, and that's the whole gimmick. It is a dual-core computer, so you're not going to do video editing on it. But literally, if you take off, I want to say take $15 off of it down to $115, you can get the bare-bones version with 1 gigabit Ethernet. That is a fine desktop-like computer. So, man, these sites really do suck me in, so I'm going to have to stop looking at this now.
I think you had me at dual gigabit Ethernet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I call it. Could be very special.
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, we're going to end this episode off now, and I would highly encourage people, send us your mini PC. Tell us which one we should talk about. Which one would you like to get? I am planning on doing giveaways on this show. The question is how often and how much. Some of these things are, like I said earlier, $15. We could give them away semi-frequently. Some of these things are $300. We probably won't ever be giving them away, but we can give stuff away. But we do need feedback. The email address I'm going to make at minipcshow@podnuts.com, minipcshow@podnuts.com. That's going to be the email address, or just mini@podnuts.com. I'll probably do both of them. And Eric, do you have any closing remarks?
No, it was a fun show. Thank you for inviting me to your first show, and hopefully I can be a part of many more of these. It's also a topic that I like, because if you guys could see around this room and the monstrosities of computer cases, and I mean, this room could look a lot different if they're all small.
Exactly. Brian, first off, ask, so was your first podcast okay? Are you going to run away and never come back?
No, I would definitely not run away and never come back. I really enjoyed myself. I enjoyed listening to you guys. I enjoyed talking, you know, talking about these things. I'm a huge fan. You know, I've always been a huge fan of tech, and having something like, you know, a PC to me is like a dream come true, kind of, you know, being able to fit a really small device in your pocket and keep your life on there, really. But I enjoyed your guys' company. I would definitely, I feel honored, you know, definitely be a part of this conversation.
We have them suckered, yep. Eric.
We really pulled the wool.
Well, I seriously want to thank you guys for coming out. I want to thank everyone for their support. Do not hesitate. Give us feedback. Unlike other podcasters, we'll answer. We'll reply. We'll hold conversations. We don't mind that. It isn't like we're, you know, better than you guys. We're just normal users. We just happen to find a time we could all sit around and talk into a microphone. With that, I will talk to everyone very soon.